Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
In the criminal justice system, sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous. In New York City, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad known as the Special Victims Unit. These are their stories.
That's Law and Order, SVU. One of the popular TV crime dramas, a new study says, does not accurately portray the criminal justice system. That study recently released by the civil rights activist group Color of Change. It also says the lion's share of TV crime dramas portray African Americans in a negative light. We're going to be talking in just a bit with the president of Color of Change, Rashad Robinson. Also joining me here in studio is Dr. Dana Williams, professor of African American literature and interim dean of the Howard University Graduate School. If you have questions or comments about this topic, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Before we begin discussing this topic, we do have some breaking news coming into the newsroom just seconds ago. The Washington Post is now reporting that there are three cases of coronavirus confirmed in the state of Maryland. Governor Larry Hogan making that announcement literally just moments ago. Of course, so far, there have been no cases diagnosed in Virginia or the District of Columbia. The state's public health laboratory in Baltimore has confirmed those first three positive cases of coronavirus. This, again, coming from the governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan. We will continue to keep you updated as this situation develops. Again, a breaking news coming out of the state of Maryland, three confirmed cases of coronavirus. Let us move on to the issue at hand. First of all, Dr. Williams, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Mr. Robinson, do we have you on the line?
I am here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you joining us for this conversation. As I said before I announced the breaking news, this study by the Color of Change suggests that the lion's share of the popular TV crime dramas inaccurately portray African Americans, as well as inaccurately portray how the criminal justice system works. Before we even get into some of the specifics of this study, can you talk to me about why this study was conducted in the first place?
Well, yeah. I mean, at Color of Change, every single day we're out in the field working to push prosecutors to do their jobs differently as it relates to criminal justice, to end money bail, to change sentencing reform. And we're constantly coming up against narratives and stories about how the justice system works that is simply not true. It's not an accident that the United States has 3% of the world's population and 25% of the world's incarcerated population. That is a result of a whole set of choices, but it's also a result of a story that Americans have about what's keeping them safe. Because the last 20 years in this country, violent crime has basically steadily went down. While at the same time, on study after study, Americans believe that violent crime is going up. And so there's a clear gap between perception and reality. And part of what we wanted to get under is what are some of the drivers for that gap? And what we do know is that the most popular genre on TV are crime TV shows. Every year, at least 20 of these shows are part of the top 100 TV shows. They have huge ratings. They are kind of on our TVs in reruns after reruns on marathons. And these shows are normalizing injustice. And we partnered with USC's Norman Lear School to do a full study of 200 and 60 episodes across 26 shows, looking at basically over 1,500 characters, and really found a whole lot of challenging things coming out of these shows, and all of the ways in which Hollywood is serving as a PR arm for police and a flawed justice system.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about a new color of study. Color of Change study that suggests that African Americans and the criminal justice system on TV crime dramas are inaccurately portrayed. One of the things, before I get into the study that you said that struck me just now, was that you were trying to make a correlation between these TV crime dramas and the impression that crime is going up. As a member of the journalism community for more than 30 years, the same thing has been said of local TV news, particularly news in urban areas. Do you think that is also part of it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that there's a whole set of ways in which all these things work together. I mean, and in fact, many of these crime TV shows will say right before the show comes on or in their advertisement that they are ripped from the headlines. And so they are oftentimes ripped from challenging headlines that are not doing the full job of telling a story. You know, we've also dug into news media at Color of Change and did a study on local news where we, you know, looked at you know, crime coverage over the course of several months and then compared it back to arrest records in that same area. And so an over-reporting of black crime and an under-reporting of white crime in local news just in a 6 month period. So we know these things work. The thing about the crime TV shows, which are storytelling that oftentimes digs in and allows for police to be heroes all the time, and folks in our community to always be victims or always actually to be villains, actually oftentimes not enough to be victims. Far too often white women are over-indexed in these shows to be victims of violent crime. You know, one of the things that we recognize about these shows is just how many people watch them, how deep their reach is, and how compelling these storylines can be. You know, we've actually seen stories of judges having to turn to juries before they go to deliberation and say, we know you watch CSI, but that's not how forensic evidence works. The fact of the matter is that these shows, for profit, have made a choice to tell stories that are wholly inaccurate. And if medical shows did something similar with, let's say, diabetes or cancer or HIV, where they put out information that was not true consistently, storylines that were not true, we would be pushing back. I would dare say our justice system is something that we should pay just as close attention to, because it too has life and death consequences on our people and our communities.
Dr. Williams, your thoughts about what Mr. Robinson just shared with us.
I'm so glad to hear that the study was done, particularly the methodology in terms of the research team coding so many episodes and then across the different types of series and the variables, because it's important to think about this from the perspective of what the research set out to look for as well. And I can appreciate, too, the fact that we know that the kind of misrepresentation that happens in crime shows wouldn't happen as it relates to medical shows, because again, I think as Rashad was suggesting, it would be seen as a menace or something that would be disruptive to the community or the good of the world. But I think that the argument that this particular petition or this report is making actually is that a similar kind of use of false perceptions of the criminal justice system has, you know, these far reaching implications as well. I'm thinking more about the audience, thinking about what the target audience is for people who are watching these shows and whether or not we can rely on their awareness to know that the representation isn't quite accurate. So I'm of the mind that, you know, I'm very mindful always that there is very seldom a more sophisticated audience in terms of critique than black people. So I don't know that I would push it as far as we see the report go in terms of saying that it influences people's, or it certainly that viewers are thinking of it as realistic. I think it's important for us to think about, for all of the reasons, though, that the report also suggests. It influences the way that police officers interact with black people. It is, in some instances, the only time that people in the target audience, particularly middle class white women, the only representation that they will see of an quote unquote inner city, whatever that is supposed to mean, which, you know, in some instances is code for black people who are living in an urban city. We have all of the reasons that the report suggests to be concerned. I want to push it a little bit more, though, and ask Rashad if in terms of the recommendations, all of which I agree with, if we need to think about the diversity in the writer's room.
Well, before we get there,
okay,
because we have time. And I want to get to the recommendations. But I think, you know, to that point, because, you know, while I'm just going to be honest with you, Rashad, as a fan of crime TV and for example, all of every Law and Order, I've seen every single one. I never miss it. I've been watching it for more than 20 years, for however long it's been on. And well, I would certainly, you know, agree that in some cases, and we know historically as it relates to television crime dramas, that African Americans have often been inaccurately portrayed. And I have not seen each and every single one of the shows here, but I just find it a little problematic to, for example, when you're talking about the criminal justice system. Yeah, I have a college, you know, degree, you know, I know stuff. But, and like I think a lot of other people, I think it's a stretch to say that people assume that this is the way the criminal justice system operates. And to your point, yes, having been on a jury, having covered trials, that yes, judges do accurate. They will say, I know you've seen CSI. I know you've seen, it doesn't work that way. And, but I don't think I can't remember anyone on a jury panel clutching their pearls and saying, oh, my God, you mean to tell me this is not Law and Order? Rashad?
I mean, I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate the pushback. So first, most Americans don't have a college degree. And in
right.
fact, most people who serve on juries don't have a college degree.
But and that's my point. And that, but go
and
ahead.
So, and so to the extent that in a country that actually doesn't have really strong civics education, the TV is a vehicle for education. And these producers understand that. And let's dig into Law and Order for a second. Law and Order SVU is set in, and to actually address the question of writers' rooms, because diversity in writers' rooms is actually one of the clearest recommendations I have. So Law and Order SVU, which is set in New York City, which is about sex crime, has an all-white writers' room, and which is 60% men. So when we've given pushback on these shows, they have this theory that they are trying to show what's really happening in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
As if the writers' room actually, these folks actually know. They employ experts in the writers' room, but only experts who are either from district attorney offices or former police officers who are there to tell the story of law enforcement, but never people from the community, from social workers, from criminal defense in those writers' rooms. Dick Wolf, who's this sort of famous creator, his name, if you watch
yes.
any of these.
Yeah, he's iconic in the genre, but go ahead. Yes.
Iconic. So most recently, he was asked at something called the Television Critics Upfront. Where producers go and they push out their new series of shows to critics across television. And the critics ask questions and advertisers decide if they're going to buy new shows. And some TV critics, you know, inquired about whether or not these shows were causing damage, right? We are in this deep moment in this country around policing where police officers consistently get off. And there are a whole lot of reasons for that, and I don't want to put it all on TV, but public perception about who's valuable and who's not does play into it.
Yeah.
And when asked this question, Dick Wolf said that his shows are apolitical. And so I just want to, as we're like thinking about the kind of defense of these shows,
mm-hmm.
to just put in your mind that you have an incredibly rich and wealthy white Hollywood producer that has an all-white writer's room about a crime show set in New York City. And Chicago PD has a white writer's room that is 95% white. So that's one of his other shows. So and that's set in Chicago.
Rashad, I need you to hold on. Rashad, hold on. I've got to take a break. And I need to make sure that our listeners have a chance to get in on this conversation. So stay with me. I'm going to allow you to finish your point. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to hear from the TV crime drama fans. What do you think about this? Accurately or inaccurately portraying of African Americans in the criminal justice system? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This conversation continues in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Just a recapping of some breaking news that we mentioned at the top of the program. Maryland now has three confirmed cases of the coronavirus. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan making that announcement approximately 10 minutes or so ago. We will continue to keep you updated as this information develops as it relates to the coronavirus crisis. Rashad, quickly wrap up your point. I want to get to some phone calls. Go right ahead, please.
Yeah. So my point is that the intention of these folks that are both making money and creating these shows is that they are telling stories about police, about race, about district attorneys, about justice in cities. And they can think that what they are doing is apolitical. And so part of why we are we compiled this data, but more importantly, as a civil rights organization, we'll be pushing these shows to do better. Not necessarily pushing them off the air. We recognize that people watch them. We watch them, which is why we did this report. But these shows have to do better. In any community that does not pay attention to the way that Hollywood depicts them and does not demand that Hollywood is fair in their representation, will have huge challenges on any public policy fight. This is not just a fight for black folks, but as a black civil rights organization, we recognize that we can't just pay attention to the written rules of policy. We have to pay attention to those unwritten rules of culture.
Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kia, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Kia, are you there?
Hello, hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. My name's the kid. I'm calling because I'm a rape victim, and a lot of things that does take place with the CSI, a lot of the stuff do occur when you go out into the community. Like when I got raped, they came out, they did the same thing that it took place on the crime victim show. You go to the hospital, you basically do your crime victim test, you get tested for your STDs and all of those things. It's just, I think that they need to reach out more to the community to find out more information before you just say that it's not touching on all of the situations with things that's happening, because a lot of times it is, and then you have some things that it doesn't. But a lot of the cases, it does pertain to what's happening in the black community.
Okay. Takiya, thank you so much for sharing with us, and I'm glad to know that you were still standing strong as a survivor of sexual assault. So thank you so much for sharing with us. One of the things that comes out of this is that there are shows that you think are more accurate in their portrayal, maybe even more culturally competent within the genre. Talk to me a little bit about that, Rashad, and then I want Dr. Williams to share her thoughts about that as well.
Well, I mean, Dr. Williams made the point about the writer's room, and then some of the shows that actually had more diverse writer's rooms, like 7 Seconds, which Regina King won an Emmy for, which was part of the season that we sort of looked at this show, How to Get Away with Murder, which is helmed by Shonda Rhimes. Those shows oftentimes dug in and had more developed storylines and more sort of portrayals that connected much closer to the data that we see. To pick up on the last point that the caller made, and I'm so sorry to hear about that story, one of the things that we found that is connected to the last caller was that these shows overwhelmingly underrepresent black women and women of color as victims of crime. In fact, like it is startling in terms of how they portray women, black women and women of color as crimes in the cities that these shows are set in, compared to white women. And when you point it back to the numbers, we talked actually to some producers about this, and we had heard things like, you know, people will turn the channel if the victim is black. I just want to say one quick thing about the implications of that. Every time we work to pass new laws to change what's happening in the criminal justice system, victims' rights advocates are prioritized. People who are survivors are prioritized. And if only some people are seen as victim rights advocates, if only some people are given voice as survivors, because the popular imagination about who is a survivor is a white woman that you see over and over and over again on marathon after marathon of crime shows. Those are the people whose voices get prioritized. Then we only get certain solutions to crime being prioritized. And what we know from study after study is that women of color and black women oftentimes want very different things out of the criminal justice system. First, they want to make sure the person doesn't do it again. Secondly, they're more likely to want things like restorative justice, investments in mental health, investments in other things in communities, because they still live in those communities where crime might be higher. And so just kind of picking up on that, these are just sort of all sorts of ways that these shows sort of create a narrative and a storyline that is challenging for sort of all the ways that we have to live in society.
Dr. Williams, your thoughts about what he's saying?
Yeah, we're thinking about the question of cultural competency and also talking about the lack of diversity in writers' rooms. A couple of things came to mind. I'm curious whether or not that is because those writers of color who actually are working as runners or in writers' rooms, if they're opting out of the genre, which, you know, I'm curious to know, that very well may be the case. And that may have something to do with an unwillingness to perpetuate the idea or the whole notion of crime. But I'm also thinking about the function of television. And when we think about the way that storytelling happens with the crime shows, especially as Rashad has pointed out, it's always about the storytelling. And in that sense, it replaces the novel of manners, which is supposed to teach us how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to interact with each other, how we govern ourselves in a society. And in that sense, the crime genre really does teach us that white people are victims, black people are not. Ultimately, there are good players and bad players. If there's a bad player, the bad player may be punished or may not be punished, particularly, as the report suggests, if the person is a criminal justice authority. And it's unfortunate that very often the person who is in the wrong as a person of authority is a person of color. It just pushes me to really think about whether or not we can hold the executives accountable, yes. But if we can also think about what it says about us as a culture, that the crime genre is the one that is the most popular. I'm really concerned about it, because we could be in a world where the crime genre isn't the central one. And it speaks to the things that we are attracted to for whatever reason. And that's disturbing to me.
Well, I would agree with that, in that, you know, when, you know, Rashad, when you were talking about the development of storylines and the like and digging deeper. And yes, for some people, they do want to know more about the characters. They do want to know, you know, why, and you know, how to get away with murder, where, you know, the main character is necessary, but she has a very, very complex history, complex life, interracial marriage and all of those. But then you got a whole lot of people, Rashad, that just don't care about that stuff. They want to see shoot 'em up, cars blown
up. It's entertainment.
It's entertainment. And I think to that point, whether you're talking about Perry Mason or you know, Law and Order or all of the stuff in between, I do believe, again.
But actually that's a really good point, because Perry Mason was a defense attorney.
Yes.
And there was a time on TV where the defense attorney was the star. And as TV became more diverse and as communities became more diverse, TV, the genre of TV, actually started shifting from standing up for the little guy, the defense attorney being the star, to the district attorney being the star. And that was actually not an accident. It was actually a lot of deep investment that law enforcement made into television. We know that the LA Sheriff's Office takes Hollywood producers and celebrities on ride-alongs to help them develop and think about new shows they're going to do. We know that there are deals that are cut between cities that where these shows are shot to use the police cars and use the uniforms. And there's all sorts of standards and practices. And so I absolutely agree that there's all sorts of things that we have to look at in terms of the psychology behind why we like these shows, why some of these things are created. But there are also a set of rules. There's also a capitalist structure that is like feeding this. And there are also communities that are less powerful than others. You know, for instance, over the last several years, crime dramas have stopped depicting every single serial killer is having some sort of sexual orientation question, right? And that was a direct result of advocacy by the LGBT community pushing back on these shows and forcing producers to have to do something different, even though they were popular sort of ways in which you were looking at it, making sure that every time there was a show about pedophilia, that person didn't come from a certain community. And so I just want to make sure that as black people, we recognize that we deserve and we should demand better. And the choices that these big corporations are making in terms of how to portray us are choices they are making because they think they can and they think they can get away with it.
So let me
ask
you.
The inability to be more creative is a result of the lack of advocacy on our part, and that's what we are trying to change at Color Change.
Well, one of the things that I see as possibly an omission, or maybe it just wasn't considered because of where it is, but the most popular crime drama on television for the past 3 or 4 years is Power. Executive produced by 50 Cent. Does it get a pass? Because if you want to talk about the images of black folks, the only thing about black folks on that show that really looked good were the clothes. Because just about everybody was a crook. Everybody was a criminal. I watched the show. I found it interesting. I thought it was compelling, but from the court cases to politics to the way the lead and supporting actors were portrayed, that was not a good look.
I think that's an interesting point, too, and I'm curious, Rashad. I mean, I don't know the genre as well as you do, and really appreciate the depth with which you are being attentive to this in a short period of time, but I'm curious, too, whether or not For Life, the new ABC series that 50 is producing, if this is like a counteract. So I just want to hear you talk a little bit about Power and For Life, if you would.
So For Life obviously wouldn't have been considered in our because we looked at the season that we looked at. For Life is just on the air, and there's a couple of new shows. There's a show on CBS featuring a black woman judge.
Yes.
So there's a number of shows coming out, we've been going around to the networks talking about this, pushing this. There's also a renaissance of black creatives coming to the forefront. And just the earlier question or comment about, like, are black creatives opting out of this? I would say absolutely not. Black creatives in Hollywood don't have the ability to opt out of much. The reason why these writers' rooms are all white is because the people are not hiring black and brown people to work in these writers' rooms. And, you know, we have done multiple salons. There have been multiple sort of advocacy efforts around hiring in this industry. And, you know, anyone who's like worked in this industry, I mean, black writers would love to be on crime shows because they if they happen, they last a long time and they end up oftentimes in syndication and they are career makers. And so no one who's like a career writer on TV is like saying, I'll never do that. Or there are few people saying, I'll never do that show. Many of them, though, are trying to bring a different perspective. And if you're trying to bring a different perspective, there's a difference between diversity and inclusion being just, you know, putting black faces in a room and expecting everything to continue to be the same and actually listening. And one of the ways that diversity and inclusion even works on the air is that there has been a lot of work to push for greater representation of people on black people and people of color on the air. And so for anyone who watches the crime shows, you will notice that these shows have way more black judges than ever exist in the real world. Like if you watch Law and Order, a marathon, you will see a lot of black judges, so much so that you're like, what it must say about our education system and equality and justice in America. Way more black judges.
But I don't.
The thing about it is that you end up having, they have no backstory, and you end up having all white writers' rooms sending justice through a symbolic black voice that oftentimes does not speak out against injustice, does not push back about inequality in the system. They are sort of symbolic stand-ins for justice for a white writers' room to make us believe that they thought hard about race when in fact, in most cities, we don't have that many black judges.
But let me, Rashad, if I may, I don't want to miss the point of my question. Do you give Power and 50 Cent a pass?
No, we did not give Power and 50 Cent a pass. We actually, we selected about 26. We did 26 shows. We fit, there was a definition that USC and Color of Change came up with for what a crime procedure was, and also in terms of combining that with ratings. And so we could go through the season that we looked at and pick up a couple of other shows that might fit into crime procedures. There are other shows on this list that had black showrunners. And so Power was not given a pass as much as it was just not, it just did not fit the definition that we had for a crime procedural show. And so that was all that was, but it was not some sort of conversation about 50 Cent or conversation about Power in particular. And there are other questions that people have raised to me about, well, why wasn't this show in and why wasn't that show in? And at a certain point, after we finished the coding, we got to a point where we had 26 shows, we had hundreds of episodes, we had thousands of characters, and we moved forward with a representation. But if you were saying to me on the phone that Power was completely different from everything that we're saying in this report, that we should have included Power because it was a different genre, it was different. Well, we're saying something about the crime procedural drama here. And my question is if Power and 50 Cent was a great show or sort of stepped outside of what we are saying these shows depict, then maybe we should have gone back and look at it. But if what you're saying is it sort of falls into the same sort of category as what we are saying these shows do, then I guess what I'm saying is that absolutely no, we're not giving it a pass. My other thing I just want to say is that because so many of the shows were a problem, you know, part of the strategy was not to call out individual shows, but to try to put together a set of recommendations that were industry-wide. Because in two or three seasons, some of these shows won't be on TV anymore. But the people that created these shows will still be around. Some of new shows will be on the air. And so part of this report was to not play the role of TV guide, right? Because that's not what we are as a racial justice organization. But to try to walk the industry through and the public through a set of demands and a set of new rules that we hope are scalable over time.
Well, honestly,
this could be like whack-a-mole, that game at the carnival where something pops up and you hit it down and something else pops up.
Well, and this is another point that I wanted to make, one of several. First of all, no matter what the genre happens to be, art imitates life. And it's kind of like, you know, when you talk about issues regarding, you know, police brutality and the mistreatment of people of color, you didn't see a whole lot of that issue prior to the Rodney King video. And then you had black folks say, well, yes, I told you so. And then, you know, gradually we began to see these kinds of things come up in crime TV dramas. And I think that's, you know, certainly, you know, that's one point. I think the other thing that I find a bit that I really do agree with is the high percentage of white male writers in this particular genre, as you say, the crime procedural drama. And I think you alluded to the point earlier, and if I may speak plainly, all of our skin folk aren't our kin folk. And so just because you put a black writer in there does not mean that that particular writer has a culturally competent experience to tell the story. So I say all that to say, I'll start with you, Dr. Williams. You know, what do we do about having culturally competent writers of color behind the scenes? We need some more young Ava DuVernays in this crime genre.
Yeah, I actually think that the report hits it, you know, on the head quite precisely in terms of accountability for the network execs. Diversity and inclusion are really important. Again, not just bringing black people in the room, but people with diverse perspectives, different class backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. We've heard recently of the different studies that make the difference in terms of where you did an undergraduate education or where you did, where you lived regionally. All of those things in terms of diversity are really important. The other recommendation in terms of the difficulty of really just reinscribing the genre's conventions. I mean, we have an opportunity to shift the genre to begin to think about things differently so that it's not just a kind of reinscribed false perception of the criminal justice system, but an opportunity to say, this is what community policing could look like. You know, you don't have a show that resists the kind of conventional, there's a good cop, there's a bad cop. The bad cop influences someone. The partner is deeply disturbed by it. I mean, for me, and I'm thinking that this is part of why it resonates so much with me as a culture critic of sorts. I mean, it's a lot like what happens in the novel. We can't continue to let publishers tell us that this is the formula A, B, C, D for what constitutes a really good novel that goes to the bestsellers list, because it'll just reinscribe itself. Similarly, we can't just accept here is what constitutes a really great TV genre. I think we have the opportunity to push execs and to create our own shows. In some instances, if we are indeed going to pursue the genre, what would a show look like with black people governing themselves under certain circumstances? The closest that we come is something I think Rashad mentioned before, 7 Seconds or Luke Cage. But the difficulty, we haven't seen another season of 7 Seconds. I'm hoping that there is one. Luke Cage is canceled. Anytime we make that attempt, then it's shut down. So we have a responsibility too, as viewers, to require more of the network execs. And then the beauty of, I think, this report and things like it is that it gives us the language to go to people and say, you will not depict us this way. Here are the implications for us, and you will do better by us. In the same way that we challenge everybody to do better by us sociologically and methodologically and otherwise.
How do we get more culturally competent writers and producers behind the scenes to have a more accurate portrayal, Rashad?
So, you know, a lot of that work is being done. You know, part of that is that when people rise up in the industry, they hire diverse writers' rooms. You know, Mara Brackett Keogh, Ava DuVernay, Shonda Rhimes, all showrunners, Kenya Barris, Blackish, all showrunners that we've worked with at Color of Change, they hire diverse writers' rooms. They have put other folks on over the years who then end up with their own shows. And so that is part of it. And so it's demanding that first that the industry has, you know, policies like a Rooney Rule out of the NFL, where when they do interviews, they make sure that they have a diverse slate of candidates and they're not just recycling the same old candidates from LinkedIn or the people that they worked with last time around. That we actually, when diversity programs are put in place, there's actually evaluation of their effectiveness. Far too often diversity programs are put in place and it's about fixing the black and brown people instead of actually fixing the systems which have created systemic exclusion in the first place. You know, the thing that we continue to do, and we have done this with Darnell Hunt at UCLA, is to actually track diversity in the writers' rooms. And that was another reason why we got to this report, is because back in 2017, when we released our Race in the Writers' Room report with UCLA, we really looked at the crime TV genres, and that's when we first saw the challenge. And we only had 9 crime dramas in that study, and only one of those crime dramas had more than one black writer. And so at that point, we felt like this is an area that we should look deeper into. But it took us a while to get there with so many other things on our plate. And so for us, it is sort of those things the industry can do. And then for us, it will be about making public demands. I actually don't believe that you ever get corporations and industries to do things just by a hope and a prayer and a heart alone. That sometimes you have to name and shame people. Sometimes you have to push back on people publicly. And those will be the things that we have to do as well. That if Dick Wolf can feel like he can create a show about crime and race and justice in a city like New York or Chicago and not hire any writers of color, and to say then that the show is apolitical, then he should be held accountable for that. And we should push back, and we should challenge the network on that, and we should challenge advertisers on that. Jewish community or the LGBT community or so many other communities would demand better about how they and their communities are represented.
Two points. First of all, and certainly, no shade to USC and UCLA, but certainly I would encourage Color of Change to reach out to HBCUs, particularly Howard University, for your next project, so that no one tries to call Color of Change out for who is participating.
Hold on. That's actually not fair. We did an RFP process, and we actually sent the RFP out to a number of historically black colleges and universities. We just didn't get back a proposal. So it just may have meant that nobody was interested in doing this report. But we did an open RFP process, as we do with all of our reports that we engage universities on. And then particularly with UCLA, we went to a black senior professor at UCLA, Darnell Hunt, to do that report. But we did an RFP process, and we sent that RFP process out far and wide. Only 2 universities responded to the RFP, USC and American University, and we ended up going with USC.
I think
the facts about that are really right. Important, because I have a lot of HBCU alumni inside of my organization who every single day work at Color of Change, and the last thing I would want anyone to believe is that we're not trying to engage black institutions.
Yeah, I like I said, I say that's partially tongue in cheek, because I am aware of the fact that there are people in your organization that are graduates of HBCUs and are always pushing the envelope to make sure that those voices are heard. The only other thing, and this is kind of another point that I wanted to make earlier, because as it relates to, and this is the news part about reporting of crime, is that having worked in TV news in both big and smaller markets, and particularly urban areas as well as predominantly white areas, and I think there's always this misconception, and this is something that has gotten a lot of pushback, because often in communities where there are majority people of color, that's the crime that's reported. When they're in communities where there are majority, that's the crime that's reported. And certainly having worked in communities where, it's mostly, white folks there, those are the crimes that are reported. Those are the mug shots and everything else.
Yeah, but to that point, the study we actually did on New York was that we took the representation of crime by race on local TV, and then we compared it back to arrest records in New York. So it wasn't that we just said, oh, there's more black crime represented, but we actually compared it back to the actual statistics. And particularly in New York, this was during the height of stop and frisk. So we already knew that those results were going to be skewed because of over-policing. I live uptown in New York City, so in between Harlem and Columbia University. And no one can tell me that there's not just as much drugs being done on Columbia's campus as there in Central Harlem, but we know who gets arrested. Even with the over-policing, local TV news still overrepresented the black crime. And so we compared the numbers to the numbers. It wasn't that we were like, oh, they have more black crime on TV. We took the representation on TV, then we looked back at actual arrest records. And so, yes, that will be the case, but, when TV news takes things directly from the police blotter, and it makes really clear decisions about who they will put a mugshot on, because what mugshots actually kind of elicit ratings and what leads help.
You're going to talk me into our next show. And I'm gonna have to not allow you to do that. But I certainly invite you back for the next study, next discussion. Always good to have you on the program. I appreciate it. Also, Dr. Dana Williams.
ChangeHollywood.org.
All right, thank you so much. And Dr. Dana Williams, thank you so much for coming in and sharing in this conversation.
Oh, my pleasure.
That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, March 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.